Listen out the words of this song. Powerful song. When it was dark in my heart, you brought light to me. Child of darkness became child of light. When my soul was dry and I needed drink, the water became for me.
Bibles will turn with us over this morning to the book of Matthew in the 12th chapter. Amen. Matthew, the 12th chapter. God is so good to us. Keel number one, brother. Thank you. Matthew in the 12th chapter, verse number 40. Jesus speaking here, he says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Also over in Ephesians in the 4th chapter in verse 8 through 10, he says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." Amen. Check the sound, brother. Make sure nothing else is on. Father, we love you this morning for who you are, for the greatness of your power, for the love, God, that you have given us. Father, we thank you for allowing us the privilege and honor to be able to be in this building today. Father, I pray, God, under the sound of my voice, Father, and in the other building, Lord, or everywhere a body of believers is joined upon this earth, where the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached today, if there's one that does not know a risen Savior, Lord, their name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. All the work that Jesus did for them, they've not accepted. I'm asking, Father, today that they would consider their ways. Consider, Lord, Father, what Jesus has paid for and the price that was paid. Father, help us to make the right decision before leaving this building today. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. Don't you love the Lord? Say amen.
Amen.
Give me just down a little bit. Sound like I'm blasting. I don't want to blast you. You get happy sometime, and I don't want your hair going back. Amen. Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. Just make sure they can hear back there. Don't just turn it down. Forget me now. Stay on it. Amen. It says, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Amen. We understand that last Sunday we know it is Palm Sunday. I want to just kind of go through the week and bring us up to where we are for Easter Sunday, if it's all right with you, and what has transpired 2,000 years ago in the week leading up to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We understand that the previous Sunday, last Sunday, was the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the little donkey. We talked about that last Sunday night. If you was here, you heard that. Then we understand that on Monday of that week, Jesus went into the temple and he was there before the scribes and the Pharisees and kind of blowing their mind. And they even asked him, says, by what authority do you speak, God or man? And Jesus said, well, let me ask you a question. Says, well, John the Baptist, was he from God or man? Well, he had him on the spot, because if they said that he was from God, then that was just saying that Jesus was from God, because John the Baptist was the very man that looked at Jesus coming and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Amen. And baptized him in the River Jordan. And then if they said that John the Baptist was of man, the people would get him, because they believed that John the Baptist was a prophet of God. Amen. So that's the way to answer a question with a question. Amen. Then we understand that Tuesday, Jesus sends the disciples to make ready the Passover. And we talked about that last Sunday night, if you was here. If you wasn't, get a CD about it. And talking about how that they went to the place and followed the guy carrying the pitcher on his head of water and goes into the place, and they go in and make ready the Passover. Then we understand that after Tuesday, 6 o'clock p.m., which is the beginning of Wednesday. See, a day in the Jews goes all the way back to Genesis, because it says a night and a day makes one day. So the night comes before the day in a Jew's day. Amen. We always think of it starting, you know, early in the morning at daylight. But it starts at 6 p.m. Wednesday starts. We understand that he met there with the disciples, and he took communion, like we talked about this morning, at the sunrise service. And he washed the disciples' feet. And then he goes into the garden and he prays. Y'all know the story. Amen. If you've been around church. And he goes into the garden to pray. And as he's praying, he told the disciples to watch and pray. And he comes back and he finds them asleep. And amen. Kind of like the church world. And And he finds them asleep and he wakes them up and he says, watch and pray, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. And he goes and prays again and he comes back and he finds them asleep again and he does it again. He comes back, finds them asleep again. Amen. And then Judas comes in the garden with the band of soldiers. And a band is like 600. You would think Judas and a couple of guys came, but it was 600 guys came with Judas to take Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and said, whom do you seek? And he says, Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, I am he. Amen. That's what he's singing a while ago. I am. Why does he call him I am? Amen. Because whatever you are this morning, whatever you're in need of, you need salvation. He said, I'm your salvation. Perhaps this morning there's some in here that needs healing. I'm your healing. Perhaps this morning there's some needs finance. I'm your finance. Maybe you need peace. I'm your peace. Amen. Whatever it is. Maybe you need a marriage counselor. I'm your marriage counselor this morning. That's what he's talking about. Whatever you're in need of this morning, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that need. Amen. He said, I am he. And all 600 of them went back on the ground. You see, they didn't take Jesus' life. He gave it up for me and you. Amen. Jesus goes with them and they go before the chief priest and the council. He confuses them so that they even rent their own clothes. They carry him before Pilate, the governor, and he can find no fault in him, you know. And this is all transpiring on sometime Wednesday morning. And Pilate could find no fault, so he says, well, I'll just let him go. And the people begin to say, no, we're not going to let him go. And they had a custom that one person, one prisoner would be let go before the Passover. It was a custom. And so he asked them, he put it before them. There was a prisoner by the name of Barabbas who was a robber and a thief. And he was arrested for insurrection or going against the Roman government. And he was in prison. And everybody knew of Barabbas because he was just such a no good. And here's Jesus before the crowd and here's Barabbas over there in the cell. And so Pilate says, well, I can let one of them go. Said, who do you want to let go? And the crowd cried out, Barabbas, Barabbas. They want Barabbas. Barabbas represents the world, and that's what the world is doing today. When you say, well, do you want the Lord or do you want the world? And the world is saying, we want the world, we want the world. That's what Barabbas represents. Amen. And so he said, well, what do you want to do with this Jesus? And they say, crucify him, crucify him. Amen. Now we get a picture of what is transpiring here. Barabbas also represents me and you. And he was guilty of the crimes. Okay? The man was guilty. We all had sin. We was all guilty. And we all should have gone to the cross of Calvary. Amen? But Jesus went there for me and you. He took my place and he took your place. So we can see a picture of us in the picture of Jesus and Barabbas. Think about it. Now I need y'all to help me out a little bit, okay? When I stick up one finger, I want you to say, Barabbas, Barabbas. Shout it out.
Barabbas.
Okay. When I stick up the other one, I want you to say, crucify him, crucify him.
Crucify him.
All right, get a picture of Barabbas. Here's Jesus standing before the crowd, and here's Pilate, and he's asking the crowd a question, you know. Barabbas is in a distance in a jail cell. And I just can, it's my own thought of this. I can't imagine him hearing one voice. One voice don't carry very far, but a crowd carries a long way. Amen. And so when Pilate is saying, said, who do you want for me to release? He couldn't hear Pilate. All he could hear is the name Barabbas. And when he says, well, what do you want to do with this man called Jesus here? Then he's going to, all he can hear is the crowd's response. So look at Barabbas over here in the jail. And he's locked away at a distance. And all he can hear is the crowd. He can't hear Pilate. But all of a sudden, he hears this.
Barabbas.
He hears his name called. He says, wow, the crowd is calling my name. I wonder what they want with me.
Crucify him.
Oh, my. Can you imagine? And then all of a sudden he hears the keys of the jailer coming and opening the door. And all he knows is they're crying out my name and they're wanting to crucify me. And the door's open and he comes out of the prison and the jailer looks at him and says, "You can go free." Can you imagine the feeling that he must have felt? That Jesus took his place. Well, let me tell you, the morning I got saved, amen, the world and Satan was wanting to crucify me and drag me into hell, amen. But I want to tell you that a man named Jesus took my place, amen, that I could go free. Hallelujah. That's what he did for you. And if you fail to reject what he did, my friend, we're without excuse. How many believe Jesus died for you? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him. You know, there's some people that think that they're just destined to go to hell. No. Jesus died for every person. It is not God's will for any to perish. Amen. But all come unto repentance. Amen. How wonderful God is to us. Amen. We see that Pilate took Jesus and he beat him with 39 stripes, the Bible tells us. You look up the major categories of diseases known to man, there's 39 of them. And Jesus took a stripe for every one of us, amen? He says, he's, like I said this morning in Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, he talks about, he says that his vestige was so marred, amen? In other words, he was so beaten and mangled. Josephus, the historian of Israel, he says that he was so wounded and so marred that he was barely recognizable as a human being. I know the Passion of Christ came out a couple years ago and depicted the beatings that he went through. And it was a good film, a good movie. But my friend, it did not portray what Jesus went through to bring me and you salvation. Amen. He took mine and your place where we should have been beaten. He was beaten where he was crucified, where we should have been crucified. Amen. What love. He said in Isaiah in the 53rd chapter, he says, "But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." Amen. How much love. He also says over in Hebrews in the 10th chapter in verse 28, he said, "He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherein he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace." In other words, if a man lives through this life and never accepts what Jesus Christ laid aside his glory in heaven. He didn't have to, but he laid aside his glory in heaven and he came down here and he walked like man and he proved a man that could walk through this world without sin. And he took mine and your sin and nailed it to a cross and died and suffered for me and you. If we reject that, when we stand before God, my friend, we're without excuse. If you just despise Moses' law, the Old Testament, if you snubbed your nose at it and didn't keep it, you died by stoning. Amen. How much sore punishment when we reject Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, Brother Dave, I believe in him. I believe in him." Well, that's well and good. The devils even believe in him, fear and tremble. Amen. But it's kind of like being in an airplane at 10,000 feet and the door's there and they say just any moment that door's going to open and you got to go out that door. You say, "Well, I'm no problemo because right down there in the floor is a parachute and I believe in that parachute." Will that believing in that parachute save you? No. What do you got to do? You got to put it on. That's the problem with people. They believe in Jesus. Well, that's good. But you got to put him on. You got to accept what he did. You got to become a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Just believing in him won't do. You got to put him on, friend. You got to confess him. You got to be a witness. You got to walk before him. Amen. We have to live this word of God. Amen. That door represents life, and we're all going to bail out of this life sooner or later. Amen. Make sure you got the parachute on. Look at Jesus on that cross. He's hanging there between two thieves, the Bible tells us. The one of them looks at him and says, hey, if you be the Christ. See, he even had doubt. If you be the Christ, come down and save yourself and us too. And he looked on the other side was the other thief. And he looked at the thief and he said, hush up, man. He says, we get our due reward. You know, this is what we should be being done, crucified, because we was criminals. This man has done no wrong. And he looks at Jesus and he says some very important words. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Amen. Lord, remember me. He recognized Jesus as being the Savior of the world. Amen. He recognized the innocence of Jesus Christ. And he said, Lord, remember me. I like what Brother Wayne Womack told me one time. Years ago, never forgot it. You see, over in the Garden of Eden, man was dismembered from God. Amen. They was alienated from God. They was put out of the garden. Amen. They was dismembered from fellowship with God. But that man on the cross understood it. He said, Lord, remember me. Put me back in fellowship with God. Reattach me to the vine. Reattach me to you, God. Hallelujah. Remember me. Jesus looked at him and he says, today thou shalt be with me. Where? In paradise. Amen. We see in John's gospel, the 19th chapter and verse number 30. This is Wednesday between 12 o'clock, the sixth hour of the day, and the ninth hour of the day. From 12 o'clock p.m. to 3 o'clock p.m. Jesus is on the cross. There's darkness, it says, during that time. Why? Because God cannot look on sin. And Jesus took my sin and he took your sin and he put it on him. You see, when he was in the garden, Jesus was, you know, it says that his sweat became his blood. Y'all read it? They say if you're under so much stress that it's possible that your capillaries will burst and blood come through your sweat glands. Pressure. He had the weight of the world. A man who had not known sin. A man that had never been out of fellowship with God. Came to where we was at and took my sin and your sin and every man's sin and put that filth upon him. Amen. That's why in the garden he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Because he understood how dirty and putrid sin really is. And he didn't want to feel that. But nevertheless, for the love of me and you, he said, I'll take their sin. I'll bear their iniquity. Amen. I will carry their sin and die. And when I die, the sin will die. And darkness was upon the earth. Why? Because God, for those 3 hours, had to turn away from this earth and could not look on it. Why? Because he had to look on sin. A lot of people in the church world has got sin in them. And they say, I go pray and God hears me. God don't hear that prayer. Amen. You can't pray over sin. You got to get sin out of you. Brother Dave, you got scripture? Yes, sir. Isaiah in the 59th chapter. He said, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot reach, and his ear does. Only can I hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God that he will not hear. So he says, darkness, God turns away. That's why Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He didn't feel the presence of God. If you're a sinner in here this morning, he was feeling what you're feeling. Lost and undone. No hope. Oh, I got hope. I got plenty of money, Brother David. I've done plenty of funerals. I've never seen an armored car behind that hearse. You're without God this morning. You with no hope. Death is approaching you. You die lost. Don't go that way when a Savior died for you. God loves you today. He cares for you. Jesus died. John 19:30 says, he cried with a loud voice, it is finished. What is finished? The plan of salvation for all mankind. the work that he'd been sent here to do. He said, I finished it. It is finished. Amen. Jesus not going back to the cross to save nobody. He saved them 2,000 years ago. You just got to accept it today. Amen. Same way with healing, peace, everything that God has, Jesus paid for it. How wonderful. What happens when Jesus cried out that the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. Amen. Up to then, no man could approach the throne of God, representing the throne of God, the Holy of Holies. Amen. But the veil was rent. What does that mean, Brother David? That I don't have to go to a priest this morning, and you don't have to go to a priest this morning, because Jesus made a way through the veil. Amen. That you have access to God. He said in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. You have access to God this morning through Jesus Christ. Jesus reached and he got my hand in your hand. And he reached and got God's hand. And he put us together, reconciling God with man. Ooh, who are we this morning? God is good. Jesus died on the cross. See, they call it Good Friday, but it's Good Wednesday. You hear preachers preaching. They say, yeah, Jesus died on Friday and he resurrected Sunday morning. Well, then Jesus is a liar then, because Matthew 12:40, I just read it to you. As Jonah was in the whale's belly for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Count it up. Amen. Or oh me, one. Should be called Good Wednesday. Amen. Whatever. Matthew 12:40. Again, he says, for as Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Amen. Jesus didn't go in the tomb. They took the body in there. But Jesus came off the cross and went down into the heart of the earth. Amen. He was on business. Amen. He was on business. He went down in the heart of the earth. And he went over to hell. And he went to Satan and he says, give me the keys. Amen. What keys? How did he get the keys? He stole them from Adam and Eve in the garden. The keys to the kingdom. Authority. Did not God in the beginning give Adam and Eve authority? Did he not? I give you dominion over all. But what did he do? They gave it up. Amen. They gave it up. And Jesus went over to hell and he kicked open the doors and he walked in there and he said, give me the key. And I believe old Satan with a trembling hand over the keys, amen, that he stole from Adam and Eve. Huh? But while he's over there, amen, there's something happening over across the gulf. Now, you have to read Luke's gospel, the 16th chapter, to get this. The rich man and Lazarus, remember, rich man and Lazarus that laid at his gate, you know, and he looked over at the gulf, you know, the rich man, and he says, hey, Abraham, he says, send Lazarus to touch my tongue in this fire, for I'm tormented in this flame. Amen? Read it when you get home. A lot of people say, I don't believe in hell. It don't change the degree one bit. Brother Dave, you can't preach long enough to convince me. It's not my job to convince me. I'm only the mailman. I'm delivering your mail. You got to open it and read it. I just got to warn you, tell you. I'm a weatherman. Amen. I'm warning you that there's a coming storm. Amen. I'm warning you to prepare. What's happening while Jesus is getting the keys? Well, go back a few days. Remember in John's Gospel, the 11th chapter, in the story of Lazarus, who died for 4 days. Y'all remember that story? Now Jesus is up here on the cross and he's preaching and they send for Jesus. Takes him 4 days to get there. But 4 days, old Lazarus went down. Not the same Lazarus in Luke 16th chapter. It's a different one. Brother of Mary and Martha. And he goes into paradise. And there's old Abraham and there's David. Come on, there's Job. Amen. There's Isaiah and all the prophets of old over in this place called paradise. Amen. And what's he doing? He said, hey, the man is up on earth. I done seen him. I've talked to him. He's raising the dead. He's healing the sick. I'm telling you, he's doing a great work up there. The Messiah is here. Amen. I believe old David might have said, hey, I knew he would not leave my soul in hell. I believe old Job says, my Redeemer liveth. Amen. Come on. I believe a revival started breaking out. And all of a sudden, Lazarus. Huh?
And Lazarus still talking on. Lazarus. Wait a minute. I hear my voice. Lazarus, come forth. I got to go back. He's calling me. Come on. He came out of that tomb, right? Amen. Did he not? Bound hand and foot, told the church to loose him, let him go. Y'all know the story, don't you? See, he was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was telling them, boys, y'all been down here for a long time. Amen. It'd been a few thousand years since Abraham, you know. I mean, they've been there a long time. But hey, boys, y'all get ready. Y'all about to get out of here. Something happening on the ground level. Amen. And what happened to Jesus on the cross there, and that thief says, that God told him, said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in the kingdom. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me where? In paradise. Amen. When Jesus died, he went to get the keys. The thief died and he went down to paradise, and he said he was hanging on the cross beside me. He's on his way, my friend. He'll be here by that time to hear the keys. Amen. The keys opening to paradise. Woo! Jesus walks in. Can you only imagine? I said, Brother Dave, I don't believe all that junk. I ain't why I preach, please you. I preach because I've been called by God. To warn you. I was talking to a fellow yesterday. We went to Walmart. And tried to find ham or something the other, something to cook. And I went there and they didn't have nothing. We like them smoked ones, you know. We put it in our cook and it just falls apart. Boy, it's waiting on me now. Home. Big old macaroni and cheese and a big old apple pie, fresh baked. Somebody brought me yesterday. Come on. Amen. I said to Cottie, I think she's worried about me, you know, trading her out or something other. She's got cooking them big meals. Nah, I just kidding. But I couldn't find it in Walmart, and we didn't have any idea it was going anywhere else. I said, well, let's just run out here to Bilo. You know, Steph's a good man ordered by the Lord, ain't he? I said, let's just go out here to Bilo. She said, they've been remodeling. That's a little store. They ain't got nothing there. Let's don't go there. I said, let's just go there. They usually have something there, you know. So we walk in, and no sooner we walked in, I looked, and there come a fella in a shirt and tie, dressed real neat, short haircut, you know, flat top, smiling from ear to ear, glowing like a light had been turned on. And I looked at him. And I had to take a double look. And boy, he was smiling. He said, hey, Brother David. And he hooked me up and grabbed me. And last time I saw him, he was riding with the Hell's Angels. Come on now. His life was in shambles. He was in a mess. I was worried and concerned about him. He said, don't you know that I got saved and God's working in my life? He said, I was low. He said, for 2 years, I've lost over 80 pounds. He said, I've been homeless since it. He said, but I want you to know from the day I got saved. And he said, I was doing every kind of drug you can think about. He said, but when I got saved, the day I got saved, I've taken the test and I've not failed not one drug test. Amen. Since I got saved, I'm not going back. He said, I'm getting my life together. God is with me. Amen. He just went on and on and on and on and on. Woo! Great goodness. Man, he's just bubbling over. He said, I still remember, you know, when we'd come to church every once in a while, and I still remember stuff you tell. He started telling me some stuff. I said, I could. Some of it I remember. So, you know, some things I repeat a bunch of times. Amen. Been here 23 years. I mean, you know. So this church don't change pastors. It just changed congregations. By the way, y'all look good here this morning. I don't know a reason why this can't happen every Sunday. Morning and night. Woo, woo. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. I feel something. Help us, Lord. He said, I remember the wife tried to drive me to church. Said, come on. You need to go to church. Go to church. And he said, Lord woke me up in the middle of the night and shook me and says, boy, you like a wild stallion. You need to be tamed. Said he came to church that morning, and he's feeling all down and out, and he come to the altar with a heavy load, and he says, I walked by and I laid my hands on him and said, boy, you like that old wild horse. You need to be tamed. He said, man, that blew my mind. I said, God knows, don't he? He said, he sure does. God knows. God knows. Jesus opened that door. And all the Old Testament saints, you see, from Genesis to Malachi, no one went to heaven inside the gate. Now, Elijah was caught up in a chariot. And Enoch, I think, some people say Moses, but Enoch, the two witnesses, the outside of the gate of heaven. They're not going in yet. They got to come back to this earth in Revelation, the two witnesses, and die, and then they'll be raptured up. But every person that died in the Old Testament kept the law. It was in paradise. This morning, paradise is empty in the heart of the earth. Why is that, Brother David? Because he says, when Jesus came out, he says in Revelation 1 and 18, he says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Amen. What did he do? He stopped by the church and he laid that key of death off and stuck it in his pocket, and he gave the rest to the church. Why did he take the key of death off? Because some televangelist, sure as the world, would take that key and say, I got the key of death here. You give me $100, I give you everlasting life. They'd be trying to sell that thing. Eh? Amen. Owe me one. Glory, hallelujah. Jesus came out and had the keys to death and hell. Amen. He says over in Matthew's gospel in the 16th chapter, what did he say? He said, first of all, he says, who do men say that I am? And he says, some say you're Elijah, Isaiah, one of the prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? See, it don't matter who I say Jesus is this morning. It's who he is to you. It don't matter this morning who Jesus is to that person sitting next to you. It's who he is to you. Because you will stand before him by yourself. Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but of my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And what did Jesus say? And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. See, when he was saying that on earth, he didn't have the keys. I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Now he's got them. He went down in the heart of the earth and he took them away from Satan. And he came back by the church and he gave it to the church. Amen. That's why he stopped by the tomb that morning and he told the sisters, he says, go tell my disciples and Peter that I am risen. Amen. Go tell them that I am risen. They wanted to touch him. He says, don't touch me yet. I've not been glorified. I've not gone to the Father and carried the blood. You see, in the Moses tabernacle, it was a replica of when heaven, and heaven's got a mercy seat. Amen. And Jesus carried his blood back to heaven and he put it upon the mercy seat. And when God looks at the mercy, he sees the blood of Jesus. When he looks at you and me, he sees the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, we know the story. He comes back to this earth. And he walks around on this earth for 40 days. Amen. Walks around on this earth for 40 days. He says on the very early, the first day of the week. That's on a Sunday morning. Amen. Saturday is the Old Testament Sabbath. Today, every day is the Sabbath. Amen? So early in the morning, early Sunday morning, the sisters went to the tomb. Those coming to answer us this morning. And they see the stone rolled away, and they was very much perplexed. Y'all learned this in Sunday school this morning. And the angel said, he is not here, but he's risen. Amen? They looked in Jesus. They thought he was a gardener. And Jesus talked with him, said, go tell my disciples and Peter. What did he say in Peter? Because he knew Peter's kind of hard-headed. You see, Peter had denied him. Peter had stood around the fire of the world.
And some of them said, hey, you walked with Jesus. I said, oh, no, I didn't walk with him. And I said, oh, yeah, of a surety, I know you did. He cursed and swore. I didn't know that man. And then he did it the third time. And on the third time when he denied him, the rooster crowed. And Peter looked and Jesus was looking straight at him. The Bible said Peter went out and wept bitterly. So when Jesus told those ladies that day, go tell my disciples and Peter, that was to encourage Peter. If he had said, go tell my disciples, oh, Peter had been sitting over and says, well, I know he ain't calling me because I've denied him. Let me say to you this morning, maybe you failed God. Maybe you let up on God, or maybe you're not really where you should be with God. You see, that's why he says, and Peter, tell Peter to come on. I love him. God loves you this morning. Amen. When the sisters came that morning and told the disciples, it said Peter and John took off running. No, John outrun him. He got there first. I guess a little faster, Peter. But he stopped at the tomb and Peter went on in looking. Jesus came back to this earth after up there for 10 days. Or maybe not 10 days, a little while. But he was short time. He was back, hour or two, ever how long. And he gets here and he walks for 40 days with the disciples. Walks through the wall, tells Thomas, see the scars. Talks with them. At one point there was above 500, Corinthians tells us, when he was speaking to them. And one day Jesus, on about the 40th day, Jesus talking to them. And as Jesus talked to them, he says, I want you to go down to Jerusalem and tarry. And wait till you be endued with power from on high. Go down there to tarry. And as Jesus was talking, he began to just kind of float in the air. And he started easing upward. And they began to watch him. And Jesus still talking to him. And then he was carried out of their sight. And they was all standing there gazing up into the heavens. And there appeared angels by them and says, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus that was taken up shall in like manner come again. Are you ready? Are you ready? He's coming again. Are you ready? This same Jesus that is taken from you shall in like manner come again. Now, I heard my mom and daddy preach the rapture of the church all my life. And no doubt in their heart they believe that they're going to see it. Though they're in a place called paradise in heaven now. That's where the saints of God are at. They're in paradise called heaven. Jesus brought them out of there to this earth level. They said the graves burst open because they began to see some of the old people that had died was walking around. He said, well, why was they walking around? Because Jesus stopped by the grave. They couldn't go on because Jesus is the way. Until Jesus finished talking with the sisters and take off, they took off with him. And they're in a place called paradise in heaven. Paul talks about it in Corinthians. But mom and daddy are in paradise in heaven. A lot of these names here and a lot of your loved ones, they're in paradise in heaven. In fact, he said in Hebrews in the 12th chapter, verse 1, he says, wherefore we so compassed so great a cloud of witnesses. We're like in an arena of called life. We're on the field. And in that arena is all the heroes of faith. If we could see it spiritually, we could see, oh, there's Tom and Rosetta Whitfield. I see them sitting up there. And they say, come on, boy, you can make it. Come on, boy, preach that word. You can make it. And there's some of your loved ones that's up there in that arena and say, come on, child, you can make it.
Come on, come on, come on, mom and daddy. You can make it.
Need to lay aside every sin and the weight that will easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. It is finished. And I ask you this morning, do you know Him? Do you know Him? You see this whole book right here, all the lives and all the stories, and it's just a little sample of what really has transpired upon this earth. A lot of people live for God and a lot of people didn't live for God. A lot of work went on for God. A lot of soldiers of the cross. These pews here you're sitting on this morning came out of a church over in Rome, Georgia. I found a paper in 1947, Sunday school thing in the pulpit when I got it. 1947. I don't know how old they are, but no doubt a lot of people have sat on these pews through the years, reckon? A lot of preachers preached over them pews. And I believe a lot of people might have held on that pew and preacher give an altar call and said, are you ready? How's your soul? If you died today, where would you go? Well, Brother Dave, I ain't going to die today. Well, when are you going to die? Oh, well, ask a teenager when you're going to die. They're going to say, well, 38, 39. We've done this. I know what I'm talking about. You ask someone 38, 39, how old are you going to be when you die? 65, 68. You ask somebody 65, 68, when you're going to die? 85 or 90. You ask somebody 85 or 90, it's 110. We've done it. I got it on video. It's exactly what they do. But isn't it true you could die today? Somebody was telling me about their uncle or something that they found him dead and had his hand right here. He was reaching for that nitro tablet. He didn't have time to get it. Died that quick. Wouldn't it be wonderful to know that if you drew your last breath, you'd wake up in heaven? Man, free. Wow. How's it with your soul? Who do you say the Lord is? Who do you say? I'm going to pray and then I'm going to ask you to stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we was in sunrise service this morning, the scripture in Corinthians says for us to examine ourselves. Lord, I'm asking this morning right here, this afternoon, maybe, Lord, that in each one of our individual hearts and lives, God, we'd examine ourselves. Let us be honest with ourselves. Let us ask ourselves a question. Am I right with God? If I drew my last breath, Lord, I don't know when that's going to be, but you do. And Lord, you know how close I am to that breath. But one thing for sure, Lord, I'm going to get there one of these days. And Lord, knowing that, am I right with you? You ask the Lord that, and if the answer is no, and if you know something is in your life that should not be there, and you've not confessed that and got it under the blood of Jesus, you've not accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and confessed Him before men, you need to come this morning. Father, I'm asking, Lord, that you would help them to make the right decision as I'm about to ask them to stand. Lord, help us to understand that no one comes to church and leaves the same way. Some may say, well, I came to church one time and I was lost and I left lost. No. Lord, make them understand they left a little more callous to the Word of God. The next time it'll be a little harder to touch their heart. And if they keep doing that time and time and time and time again, they'll get to where the good news of the gospel would not affect them. That's a dangerous place to be. Lord, help us to find good ground this morning. Father, I pray for every soul in this building, myself included. Every person, young person in the other building today, God. Father, that when we stand, we're going to have to make a decision. When we physically put a motion to our standing, we're going to make a decision. Either continue in the lifestyle that we are, or we're going to move and we're going to step out and make a change. One of the two. But we are going to be making a decision. Are you ready to make that decision this morning? Jesus paid a big price. I don't know of a better day than Resurrection Day to be saved. Are you ready? On three. Here we go. One, two, three. Stand and make that decision. Come on, all over this house. Stand, and you're making a decision. Come on, step out. Keep it going. Keep that momentum going. Come on. Brother Dave, there's some things in my life that should not be. Lord, if I were to slip out of this world, I don't know where I'd go. Come on. Come on, there's some coming. Come on. Come on and join them today. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself this morning.